And it says, but that it spread no further. And I'm in the wrong spot. Forgive me. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them and that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful to be here, but Lord, we need you. Lord, I pray that you be with me, clear my mind, help me to, Lord, move aside so that the word may speak its peace. Lord, be with us, help us to be attentive to your word, and Lord, show us the things that you have therein. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray, amen. This miracle is the one that we see in chapter 3, where Peter and John are coming in, and they're walking in, and there's this guy. This is the guy where they said, silver and gold hath I none, but what I do have I'll give you. And what they do is they heal the guy, getting him up on his legs and being able to walk around again. And many of you with mobility issues, and some of you have gone through what Diane Eaton's going to go through with the knee surgery. You've done your knee surgeries, different kinds of things like that. You know how difficult it can be to go from not moving to moving your legs again, how much muscle it takes, and the physical therapy that we go through to get ourselves mobile again. This man with no training, no exercise, no nothing, received full muscle strength and balance in his body to be able to go forth and live having gone through this great miracle. And of course, in true false religion style, they looked at this miracle and it made him angry. And the first thing that they ask, well, by whose name, by whose authority do you do these things? Well, you know how these guys are going to answer, right? Jesus Christ. And they preach and they explain, and out of nowhere come these leaders, these top guys of the time. And they look over at these men. And they look over at the man who they knew needed a miracle. And knew a miracle had taken place in his life. And they had nothing to say. So often we wonder, how is it that we are to stand in this world? How do we combat this world? Listen, the only thing you need to silence the naysayers in this world is for you to obey God. Now follow me on this. I know it's a typical Baptist sermon. Here you are talking about obeying God again. Listen, you do what God has asked you to do, and the results will blow people away. That's what's going to happen. They'll have a hard time talking about it. I've seen people so addicted to drugs and alcohol, the Lord saves them, and the next time those people see that guy again, he's a completely different human being. Almost like that demoniac the Lord healed, where they go up and there he is clothed and in his right mind, and everybody goes, wow, what happened? I've met people who are such a hot mess in their dealings that when the Lord saved them and set them straight on things, everybody around sat there and says, what changed? Did you fall off a ladder? What happened to you? And we know what happened. The Lord convicted them of their sin. A miracle took place. The things that they used to prioritize, those are gone. The things that they used to do to their bodies and to the people in their lives, those things are gone. Lord gave them a new nature. That makes sense to us. It still blows our mind. Makes sense to us, though. Makes no sense to the world. Because I tell you what, there's nobody going down to the temple of Diana getting up and being healed. There was nobody going over to the prophets of Baal and walking away with an answer to their prayers. This thing only came by Jesus Christ. This thing only comes by the Son of God. Looking back at verse 13, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Go to Luke chapter 12, verse 11. If they're unlearned and they're ignorant, how'd they know what to say? We see who we're talking about here. As Peter, right? Has Peter often had the right answer? Oh, Peter's a shoot from the hip kind of guy. And what his answer, their response is so poignant and so perfect and so wonderful. Luke chapter 12 and verse 11 says this, "And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say." Verse 12, "For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say." Here they were giving an account. And where was the Holy Spirit? Giving them the answer. There have been moments in my life, I'm sure you've had them too, where the words that you said were very important. How you said it and what you said were very important. Maybe it was a person asking you a question about salvation. Maybe it's a biblical thing. But you knew that what came out of your mouth next was very important. In those moments when it comes down to the Lord, the Holy Spirit will give you the answer. Make sure you're studied though. Make sure you've read the Word. Because I tell you what, I would much rather have the Holy Spirit repeat back to me verses that I have studied than to just give impressions on me. We had a teacher, it was Mr. Weatherhead. He was a gym teacher turned biology teacher. And it went just about as how it sounded. Mr. Weatherhead probably had no business teaching educational things outside of gym teacher. Fantastic gym teacher. But he used to have this thing where you could write down whatever you wanted to write down about the text. And you could take those notes with you and have them during the tests. And there's some people that wrote entire swaths of things down. Right? Some people wrote almost the entire chapter over again so that while they're taking the test, it's an open book test. Some people just kind of slept through it, didn't think much about it, didn't really pay any attention, didn't do any work for it. Now listen, your life, the Christian life, is an open book test. But if you don't bring the book, it's not going to do you much good. You need to be in the book. And the Holy Spirit, He will speak to you. He will guide you. He will show you what it is you need to do. And again, this is not a conditional promise, but I'm just telling you, I'd rather the Holy Spirit remind me with verses that I have studied and memorized than by any other means. I would much rather have those verses to be able to speak. These two, Peter and John, they'd been with Jesus. They knew what He would say. They knew what He had to say. They knew what happened. So here the Holy Spirit is giving them words to preach and explain to them. Now, did they like those words? Oh, no. Oh, no, they did not. But all the same, those were words that must be said. When the world looks at you, now, I want to clarify. If you are a Christian who's the wrong kind of hypocrite, the Christian will sit there and say one thing on Sunday morning, but act a completely different way on Monday, this ain't going to work for you. All right, you got to repent first before you can get here. All right, if you're the kind of Christians that's going to sit there and live out loud in their sin and be a bad testimony and you're public with your sin and you don't care what the Word of God has to say, it's not going to help you. But for those that are living their lives properly, for those that have confessed their sin and they're walking in the statutes of God, listen, the world's going to look at you and they're going to see what you are. Now, they're going to do that anyway. But if you're walking right, they'll see you as you are. So often we see that in churches where we've got people in there who will sit there and, oh, what's that? They'll find something small that somebody is doing, some sin that somebody's doing, or something that's maybe not even a principle or a precept, but something that's just a preference. And they'll sit there and they'll hawk and they'll rail and they'll bark at this guy for some small sin. But yet they'll be at home watching R-rated movies, pounding back the beers, right? And then they'll sit there and they'll cheat at work and they'll huff and they'll cuss all over the place and really give Christ a bad name. The people are going to see them. They'll see them for what they are. And that is so often what people attribute to good, solid Christians. Those bad ones out there. So often when I'll sit there and I'll introduce myself as a pastor, I'll get that kind of response. They're automatically remembering that pastor they saw coming out of the X-rated movie room. They'll remember that pastor that got caught up running away with a secretary. They'll remember that pastor who used to be mean and rude to them when they were kids. So I see that coming up in their mind. Oh, well, I don't have a good experience with pastors. Why? Because we've had some fools in here running around doing stuff. Not in here, you know what I'm saying. But we've had some people call themselves the flock of God that are nothing but goats. And we've had people who the Lord has saved who should know better but aren't doing what God has told them to do. They're not obeying the things that they know. But on the other hand, for a child of God who's got it together, a child of God who's serving the Lord and obeying Him, they're going to look at you and they're going to see there's a difference. There's a difference in you. That is a question for each and every one of us to answer. Am I different? Am I the kind of Christian I should be? Now listen, you've heard me say this, and we need to get real about this. You've heard me talk about my imperfections. You've heard me talk about how I don't always get it right. Listen, that doesn't take the pressure off the fact that we ought to get it right. The fact that we can all sit around and say, well, nobody's perfect. We ought to be getting it right. We ought to be living life in a godly manner. And when people see us doing that, yes, there'll be some frustration on their part. Yes, there'll be some disdain on some of their parts. But I'm going to tell you this, they'll see the difference. They'll know a person who can't be bought. They'll know a person who can't be tempted easily. They'll know a person who stands by the will of their God over the will of anything else. They will see that. Just as they saw them. And they may see your flaws. Now, wait a minute. This person's no philosopher. This person's no doctor. This person's no lawyer. They don't have anything to them that this world would honor in their opinion. Right? Well, how many people go to your church? Wow, it kind of sounds like y'all are just starting. You know, how many got there? 40, 50, whoo, a little seedling. Hey, I tell you what, I got a couple of people can help you bump up those numbers. And what you got to do is you got to run a few of these and you got to do a little bit of that. And man, you'll get those numbers up. That's not my goal. That's not the Lord's goal. He doesn't want to see the room packed for the sake of the room being packed. Pack the room to preach the gospel. And I'm going to tell you this, a lot of those folks won't come back. Just it. Once you stop giving away bicycles, once you stop paying off people's bills, I'm going to tell you this, those people are going to move on to the next church that will. We've had that, man. We've had that. People that have talked Bible with me, people I've given the gospel to, people I've spoken to for hours. Oh, yeah, I really think this is it, man. I really think this is it. This is the church. Hey, by the way, do you think you could help me out with a tank of gas? Do you think you could help me out with this, help me out with that? And either they'll get a couple bucks off of me, maybe they'll get a bag full of groceries off of me, maybe. But guess what? When they say they'll come to church, well, look around. Look around. See, this world, they're going to look at you a certain way. But folks, you be real. You be what you ought to be. You might not be what they exclaim. Oh, you don't have as big numbers as the church. You might not have this many views on YouTube, this many hits on your website, this many people bought the book, whatever. You know, you maybe not be what the world would say is somebody worth following, but it's not their statutes that we're going by. It's not their examples or their ruler that we're using here. We're using God's. And they'll know the difference. They'll know the difference. They'll know the difference by how we carry ourselves. They'll know the difference by how we adhere to doctrine. And they'll look and they'll say, now how? How is this person with so little in what the world says is valuable, how do they have it? How do they stand like that? I used to get in trouble in school, not because I was bad, but because I had a mouth on me. I would probably be able to guess that. Mr. McMahon was a big deal. We loved him. He was a math teacher. I struggled with math. He struggled with people who struggled with math. We had a great relationship. I bless his heart. He used to have tutor time after school on certain days where if you didn't understand, you could come in. I was his number one customer. Now, Mr. McMahon, what is this? He was a big help to me. So when I tell you this story, I don't want you to think I disrespect him. I had a lot of respect for him. But I came in one day and I had my Bible on my books, and he had an NIV on his desk, buried among some math books. And he sat there. Now, this was the man who one day sent back to me a test and called me up to his desk and said, he says, I can't write this down, but it's a good thing that God doesn't love the intelligent more than he does the unintelligent. I was that same guy. So one day when he came to me and he said, KJV, huh? He goes, it's a bit complicated for my taste. And I go, well, keep studying. I felt so good, but it was a bad idea. Don't disrespect your teachers. Don't disrespect your teachers. Oh, you're an unlearned person. Listen, at that time, there was kids riding the van that could understand the KJV. I don't get it. And by the way, I've said it before, it bears repeating. The problem with the KJV isn't with the KJV. It's the fact that we've butchered our language. You've hobbled yourself and you're having a hard time understanding what's proper. That is a bad indictment for our society. All right, that we've so tortured and busted up our language that people are having a hard time following the Bible anymore. Right? And don't think for a second that that's not the devil's dealings. Don't think for a second he's not out there creating these things that are dumbing us down. So many people today, they've forgotten how to have good penmanship because what we have is typing all the time, right? We type. Whatever you got to type. You sit there with the kids nowadays, well, they got to have a computer to go to the school and they learn typing. It's good to learn typing. Good to learn typing. You're supposed to. But it does have a bad side effect in that the handwriting is just, it's getting worse out there. I used to have people turn in their applications and I'd look at it and I'd have to immediately call them. You know, when we were doing applications to see if they could get into the apartments, I'd have to call them about every single thing on that line. Just, what on earth? We're butchering stuff. You know, but anybody else looks at me, you're a kid. You're 14, 15, 16 years old. You shouldn't have the KJV. You need the NASB. No, I got it. It ain't that hard. As it turns out, if you set a decent standard for people, it ain't that hard to get them over it. But when you sit there and you hobble everybody, say, oh, well, they're just, you know, they're young, they're dumb, they're whatever. They're never going to be able to accomplish anything. So no, what must we do? We must see things for how God sees things. These were not just unlearned and ignorant men. These were men that spent 3 years at the feet of Jesus Christ. I would trade all my years of Bible study for 3 years at his feet. I would trade my whole 4 years of pastoral training. And of course, it was more than that because my pastor started me earlier than that. But the 4 years of the organized training that he would do, not just Wednesday nights before church, but the classes that he had for me for 3 years. And then the class that I went to down in Cincinnati, I would trade all four of those for three with the Lord. And I guarantee I'd walk out with a better education than I got, and I got a good one. Listen, we need to stop seeing ourselves as less. God has given you every tool you need and the knowledge and wisdom to use it. Not that we would sit there and lift ourselves up because, again, it ain't your knowledge, it ain't your wisdom, they ain't your tools. But we thank God for them. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me up. Thank you, Lord, for teaching me. Thank you, Lord, for being patient with me. Thank you, Lord, for providing all of this for me. Right? It's not about our pride, but it is about the fact that we're not as low down and decrepit as sometimes we act like we are. God has given us things. We need to watch that boundary between between humility and disrespecting ourselves so much that we blaspheme what God has done. We blaspheme God when we put ourselves down like that sometimes. And often it's just because we're seeking to not have to be impressive. No, lay that nonsense aside and honor God for what he's done for you. Step into the role that he's prepared you for. They'll see who you're with. See, that's the thing. When God changes a person, when Christ changes a person, it's obvious who he's with. Because I've never met a lot of people who have completely revolutionized their lives and become more moral and become more structured because they cracked open a fortune cookie. I've never seen that happen. Very rarely do you see people say, you know what, this book I read right here gave me peace in every situation and problem I've ever had. I've only ever known one book that could do that, and they don't sell it in Barnes & Noble next to the self-help section. They don't. No, the book, it is the mercy of God. It is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that makes us better, and they'll know. They'll know. You get to talking to folks who are saved, and we sound a certain way. There have been some people who have come in and they've professed themselves to be Christians, not here, but I've heard them profess to be Christians, and I can tell by the name they say, by the way they say Jesus' name, they don't know him. Some people speak Jesus' name in the same way we talk about a fantasy character, right? They talk about Captain Marvel. Oh, Jesus. I talk about him like I know him, don't you? Last time I talk about Jesus, I say Jesus the same way I'd say Mark or Glenda or Paula. That's the same way. But some people, they got a weird way of saying it, like they're saying the title of something. That's his name. And he wasn't just a construct. He's not just an idea. He is the Son of God come down to die on the cross so that I could be redeemed because I am a sinner. That's who he is. You act changed, people will know what changed you. Even the most debauched of sinner can sit there and say, there's something different. They must have got religion. They'll see what you're about. When you take a stand for the Lord, they'll see what you're about. You know, I always get to talking to folks a little bit. You know, when I would do interviews with people, I'd want to know what they're about a little bit. What's your motivation? What gets you going? I'd ask questions about their, hey, what do you want to do in life? What did you want to be when you were a kid? And now I think about it, it's probably not a good interview question when you're talking to somebody who's 40, 50 years old. Hey, what did you want to do when you grew up? You know, interviewing for a apartment building cleaning job. Probably not a good question, but always told me a whole lot about them. Always told me a whole lot about them. I used to have a boss that asked ridiculous questions. I never quite understood them. If you were any color crayon on earth, what color crayon would you be? And I'd have to sit there 14, 15 times as he'd ask that question. What color crayon would you be? And then he would ask, how would you describe the color of that to a blind person? I go, that is really uncomfortable, man. Can we just go back to who you are questions? I want to get to know them a little bit first. Why? Because that told me everything I needed to know about who they were going to be. Right? Oh, well, listen, man, I wanted to do this, but then I had a kid, we got married, and now I got responsibility, and I've been doing this for a while. What I'd really like to see is I'd like to see myself being a maintenance supervisor one day. Hey, I can get down with that. That's wonderful. Absolutely. Hey, listen, I'd like to start my own repair job one day. Hey, okay, I can handle that. But people are like, oh, man, I don't know. I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what I want to do later. I don't know why I want to take this. That was always a good indicator that I'd have them for about 2 or 3 months. I always told me right there, they're not going to be here for very long. Why? Because they were looking for a paycheck. And the moment somebody gave them a better paycheck, bye-bye. Or the moment they got tired of something or some resident said something mean to them, they were going to go. You walk around obeying God, people are going to know what you're about. People are going to know what your motivations are. Well, no one's going to know if we do this. God will know. I'll know, so no. People know what you're about. Not, well, I don't want to get in trouble. Not, well, I don't want to get fired. Not, I don't want to get in trouble with the law or the IRS. Nope. God wouldn't expect that out of me. God wouldn't appreciate that out of me. They'll know what you're about. They'll know what motivates you. They'll know what your business is and how you think. They'll know who you are. And what they'll end up doing is they'll look at what Christ has done. Now, looking back at our text here, Acts chapter 4, verse 14, And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. So they're looking at these men. Now, these men are not one of us. They're not Pharisees. They're not Sadducees. They're not scribes. They're not among the religious elites. And yet we know they've been with Christ. We know they're one of these Christian people. We know that they're with him. But then when they looked over at the man who'd been healed, they didn't have anything to say. Why? Because what do you say about that? What do you say about that? How many prayer requests have we had come back where things have been fine or things got fine faster than what we would normally expect them to be? God's still working miracles today. I don't care what anybody says, but I've had health professionals sit there and I've heard them say, well, that ain't, maybe that's God. And maybe they're being nice to me, maybe they're being nice to you, I don't know. But it's the truth. It's the truth. And only the Lord can do some of the things we've seen. And they got to look at that, well, that's different. You know, I'll get that every now and then. Lord will bless in some way. Well, you're lucky. No. Oh, no, you have no idea. I'm not. Clumsiest person you'll ever meet. If I could forget my head, I'd have done that. You know what I mean? Like, your parents ever tell you that that's what you would do? That's exactly what I would do. I know that. Nobody had to tell me. It's not about luck. It's about God's blessings. I hate that. Good luck. You know what? I really don't need it. I really don't need luck. Number one, it's fake. You can have all the four-leaf clovers you want. And you know what you'll probably get? Answer something in your wallet for keeping four-leaf clovers in there. Ain't going to do nothing for you. Go ahead, kiss the Blarney Stone. Get a cold sore. What are you going to do? Well, I got a rabbit's foot. It's very lucky. Not for the rabbit. Come on. There's no such thing. Well, you got off easy. Now, hold on. From who? Who let me go on this? Who gave me a pass on this? I'll tell you who. God did. You know, just recently, well, you need to be thinking, you know, whoever. No, I'll tell you, I'm doing anything God. And I did. And I still am. Why? Because every time I think about some of the blessings he's done, I get tickled all over again. Hey, Lord, remember that time I said thank you for this? Yeah, I'm going to do it again. Thank you. Thank you for that. For that blessing. Oh, but it was such a small thing in a great sea of trouble. Hey, listen, when you're in a sea of trouble, I don't care how small a good thing is. I'll take it. And I'll be glad for it. Well, it's not quite the rescue you expected. No, but it was the rescue I needed. It was the blessing I needed. When God does great things in your life, people are going to see it. And it's not about making other people jealous, but it's going to happen. Well, how'd that happen? Well, how'd this happen? Well, you know, I went over to the mailbox trying to figure out what I was going to do and got a refund check back from the insurance company. Oh, really? We just recently, we found out we overpaid on some of the stuff going into the escrow for our mortgage. They refunded us. I'd never heard of that. Never heard of that. And guess what? Came right in time for another need we had. I didn't even have a four-leaf clover. There it is. Why? Because that's what God does. You ever been beat up like we were talking about this morning, and all of a sudden you're overwhelmed by peace where you shouldn't have peace? You're able to sleep when you shouldn't be able to sleep? I mean, think again of the disciples as the Lord was in the bow, or as it was in the bottom of the boat, sleeping. Master, carest thou not that they perish, that we perish? Man, if they were really thinking, they'd have got down in there and had a nap with them until the storm was over. They weren't thinking like that. God ain't doing nothing. Right? Because there's nothing to do right now. Just wait. Trust me, when it's time for him to get up and calm the storm, he'll get up and calm the storm. Don't you worry about him. We think about that battle between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Call louder! Maybe your God's indisposed of. Maybe he's sleeping. My God don't do that. He knows what's going on. And you better believe the people in your life will see it. But also, they'll see how you respond to it. I've met people come in, you got bad news. Hey, man, my doctor told me this. Oh, I'm so sorry. You know what? I'm just going to wait to see what the Lord does. And they say it in a way that makes you feel better. You ever sit there with somebody, they're going through a hard time, and they try to comfort you about it? Where does that come from? The Lord. That'll make a child of God dance, and that'll make a lost person question. How can they have that peace? Maybe they're in denial. Maybe they don't understand. Oh no, we understand, don't we? We understand exactly what it is to be down and out and have no opportunities to us, no resources to us, and God provides the answer. So you know what? They'll notice what Christ has done to you. They'll notice what Christ has done through you. They'll notice what Christ has done through you. So wait, you guys were going to do this? Yeah. Why would you do that? Now why would you have a conference like that? You heard somebody was having a hard time, so y'all took money that you could have made and tapped and put into the storehouse, and you guys shipped it to them? Yeah. Why? The right thing to do. Well, why do you give so much time over to the church? Why do you teach? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? It's the right thing to do. It's what God would want me to do. And because you did that, this happened? Oh, yeah. Well, they must be really glad to have you. Oh, it doesn't have to be me. Lord could have done that with anybody. He just chose an idiot, you know? Could have been anybody. He just chose me. People are going to see what God does through you. How you affect other people. How you affect situations. Right? How many of you? Why are you so calm? Amen. This is the day the Lord's made. I used to tell my boss that every now and then. All right, no, I don't want to. He goes, Matt, every time we got to work overtime, every time there's a problem, you don't get upset like the other guys. No matter what I tell you to do, you don't get upset. You know what? I told him, you know what that is? He goes, what? I go, I get paid hourly. We agreed that from this time to this time, I will do the work. I don't get to pick the work. I just do the work, right? Yeah. Check's still coming on Thursday? Well, yeah. I'm still here, man. I don't care. Well, all right, well, I got 5 garbage disposals for you to do. I don't care, man. Make it 6. I dare you. You know, whatever. Wait, there's no reason to get all bothered. I know people that work in like the food service industry. They get all bothered about stuff. Right? They're running around. And you got to run around. You expect that sort of thing. You're trying to get those tips. But they get frustrated. They get angry. You know what? Clock out time is still clock out time. It's going to be, whether you sell 12, whether it's 12 plates or 13 plates, does it really matter? That time's done. We get a common sense about us. And we sit there, we'll have the gall at the end of that to sit there and say, Lord, thank you for a busy day. That's how crazy we are. We'll sit there and we'll go to the doctor and have to wait in a long line and get some bad news from the doctor and still come out and say, well, Lord, thank you for that. It wasn't worse. Thank you for having a doctor so close. Thank you for letting me get, for having it to where I could get in today. And thank you for having, thank you for giving me a doctor that could see this problem. That's how crazy we are. Lord, thank you for helping me in this situation instead of, I can't believe this is happening to me. Drives me nuts when people do that. Why me? Well, who would you rather it happen to? You think you get to pick? It's a bad world. We don't get to pick what happens to us here. But I tell you what, we get to pick our response. We get to pick how we act in situations. And I like working with people who've got a calm demeanor. I like working with Christians who sit there no matter what's going on. Well, praise the Lord, here we are. That makes me feel better. It makes me feel good. When we're sitting there working and somebody says, you know what, we're having a hard time with this. Why don't we pray? That's nice, isn't it? That's nice. What happens through you, people will see. So watch what happens through you. You better make sure it's tight. Because people will form a conclusion of God by your actions. It's not fair to God that he gets judged by the worst of his creations, but here we are. You got to be a good ambassador. You got to be a good example. Because people will see what happens through you. They'll see how you work. I'm not just talking about your physical labor, the manifestation, you going out there with your job. They'll see how you behave. They'll see your effort in it. Well, now what do you mean you guys are going out and you're inviting people to church? What do you mean you handed that over to them? And what do you mean you just went to the store, you got stuck in line? And I thought about this today. I forgot for some reason why I don't do Christmas shopping at the store anymore. And I thought about this, and I realized why a couple days ago when I went into the store. Just how many people go, turn their cart sideways in the aisle, and just have a nap. You ever notice that? I figure, who's sitting at home with a best friend or something going, you know what we ought to do? We ought to go down to the mire, plant our carts diagonal, and have a good conversation there among the aisles. That drives me nuts. So I forgot about that. You know, I forgot about that. You know, it's a wonderful time for us to do. This would be the perfect time for us to be out there handing out tracts and invitations to the church. If you're waiting for a joke to come, it ain't coming. It'd be a perfect time, man. How many people you see out there? You ever get stuck in a long line? You go in for milk or eggs, something you need, and there's a bunch of people in there buying some random nonsense. The lines are all the way over to the aisles. That's a perfect opportunity to start a conversation, isn't it? Man, it sure is good to be able to sit here and buy stuff. I mean, don't forget this is America. You know, the land of excess. We just blow money on some random stuff, don't we? Man, it sure is good to be here being able to buy milk, to buy eggs, you know. Glad that's starting to fix itself a little bit. That got crazy, didn't it? Sure is good. I tell you what, I think God's blessing us. What? People will notice. Be an example to Him. Take the opportunity. Don't forget, we're still under the Great Commission. We still got a job to do here. Right? Take the opportunities. Because people will notice how you work. People will see who's affected by you. They'll see. They'll see what blessings flow around you. Consider Joseph for a second. Joseph had a very rough life in the beginning there, didn't he? But everywhere he went, because he honored God, blessings flowed, didn't they? I tell you what, Potiphar didn't deserve a blessing on his house. But because Joseph was there, he got it. I've tried to convince some of my employers of that. Well, why is everything doing better all of a sudden? Well, because this is the way it's supposed to run, and we did that. Well, how come it wasn't doing that before? Well, people took shortcuts, and people do that, and it caused a mess, and we fixed the mess, and now it's running the way it should, and according to your specs, and look at her fly. Well, how come you're not taking the shortcuts? How do I know you're not going to take them? Well, because I don't answer to you. I answer to God. Well, I'd sure like it if you answered to me. Well, see, here's the thing. Because I'm answering to God, I answer to you. I do things you want, and you get the blessings. Well, how do I get the blessings? Remember that 100% occupied we were just talking about? That ain't me, Jack. That ain't me. I'm honoring the Lord by honoring you. People will notice the blessings you bring into a situation. And I ain't talking about gifts and cookies. I'm talking about the things that God will do in a situation just because you're honoring Him in it. They'll notice. It's hard not to notice. It's hard not to notice a man who is lame all of a sudden standing up and hugging two disciples. That's what the Bible says, is that they came rushing in while he was holding them. It's hard to miss that. It's hard to miss love where love probably shouldn't be. It's hard. Today we lack camaraderie. Today we develop an anxiety about making phone calls. We develop an anxiety about being around people. We are among the most isolated generations I'm quite certain there has ever been. And the more and more we get into technology, the more further apart we become from each other. We don't know how to speak to each other anymore unless it's on a screen. But think about this. You could order your... I get a text message on my phone for my medication. I could pay for it. I don't even have to talk to anybody. I just got to give the lady my name at the thing and my birth date. She slides the medication out. Good to go. I can order things online. I don't have to talk to nobody. You can order food online. Never have to see a soul. You can sit there and order a pizza. Last time I ordered a pizza online, I looked at it. I could have it delivered to my door. I don't even have to see the driver. And I guess that helps you tip them a little less if you don't got to look them in the eye. But anyway, we lack contact. But you come into a church, and you got a bunch of people from different walks of life and different ages and different backgrounds, different interests, and you got a group of people that love each other. Hey, world's going to notice that. World's going to notice that. That's why we got to work on unity. We got to build it in every opportunity we get. Because there's churches out there people walk into, and it is cold. It's cold. One of my favorite members of this church is coming in the first time hearing y'all say you love each other. That blessed my heart. Not in a cute way. That meant something to me. You know? There ought to be love. People will notice that. Man, everybody there seems to like each other. Yeah, we do a good job of seeming to like each other. We do. We love each other. Man, we're sitting up there, some of us men, before we got to praying, we cut up a little bit, teasing each other. Hey, those are good. Those are going to be good memories, I hope. I hope they're good memories. But no, there's a love. There's a camaraderie. There's a teasing a little bit there. You know, somebody came up to me, asked if I was left-handed after the baptism. Somebody had to explain to me why. Do you guys really not know why I did that? Okay, let me tell you. There's stairs, and you'll hit your head on a wall before you hit your head on the stairs. So I was taught to lean people towards the stairs so they don't hit their head. And then somebody comes up to me and says, well, you're left-handed. I sat there, I go, oh. Like I, hey, we can laugh. We can joke. We can tease a little bit. Gotta be careful who you do it to, but you can tease a little bit. Well, that don't make no sense. I know. Only one way that makes sense, man. And that's if God's the God of it. It's the only way it makes sense. I've seen people hate each other just because. I've seen people get under each other's skin just because. But a godly person. Person who loves the Lord, the blessings will flow around them and they will be kind and they will be loving and the Lord will bless their situation and the world will see it and they will know it. They will know it. God will put blessings all around that person and all the people who don't understand are going to stumble over them a little bit. They're going to trip over them. What's that doing there? And we see there one of my absolute favorites. They could say nothing against it. They can say nothing against it. Every now and then someone will throw a little barb, maybe at a family thing, maybe you know, just in general conversation with people, somebody will throw a barb at churches and how we do stuff. And then I'll have to answer them with the truth and they shut up. Well, don't you tell them what to do? Don't you make the final decision? You just tell the church? No, we decide as a group. Huh. Well, how about the money? Aren't you in charge of the money? No, your pastor should never be in charge of the money. If your pastor's in charge of the money, you need to change something quick. That's never what God designed him to do. All right? In a pinch, if he's the only one there, maybe. But even then, his wife should be looking at it, you know? Oh. Well, you're wrong. Well, don't you believe that because so-and-so has this sin that they're going to hell? Oh, no, I don't think they're going to hell because of that sin. I think we all deserve to go to hell because of our sin. And I'll show out some verses. Oh, hey, you guess and you're going to have a lot to say. But the moment you know, you get quiet. Why? Because when you're confronted with the truth, when we speak not on our opinions and not on our ability to sound clever, but when we speak scripture, people are going to have a hard time talking about that. They're going to have a hard time arguing with it. Why? Because if you don't know scripture, you can't argue scripture. That's just it. I've known a lot of people who've believed themselves to be able to argue scripture, but they don't know it. I had a young guy tell me one time, he goes, there's so many contradictions in the Bible. I go, really? He goes, yeah, it's just littered with contradictions. Oh, wow. Every book has contradictions. Okay. Where? Can you give me one? I'd like to know one. I said, look at me, how embarrassed I am. I've given my whole life to the study of the book, and I don't know them. Will you share them with me? If you've studied, you got to know they're there. No, I've never come across one. What do you got? Give me one book that has a contradiction in it. Got nothing to say. Why? Because I'm clever? Oh, no. Because the Word of God stands for itself. It stands for itself. Have you ever read the book? Have you ever read the Bible? Well, no, I haven't read it, but TikTok, you know. I've never read it, but on YouTube. I never read it, but on Facebook it says, okay, all right. People don't understand. It's amazing. You ever see that little picture that had the scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz? And it said that quote where he says, a whole lot of people without brains talk, or something like that. And the next picture over in the cartoon, it was a picture of like Congress. Listen, people don't need to know anything to be experts. I learned that here. Nowadays, you don't have to know a thing and you could still be an expert. Must be nice. Me, I have to study for everything I learn. Some folks just born with it. Just by the nature of their decision making, know stuff. I don't know, and I've studied it. Well, have you read the Bible? Well, no. Well, how do you know? Well, somebody told me that. Other people, smart people. Oh, do you have their phone numbers? Love to talk to a smart person. Having issues right now trying to get this point. You know, what are you saying? The Word of God speaks for itself. Wonder why? Because God speaks for Himself. What do I say when people do this? What do I say when the world turns against me? What do I say when people are being ugly about my stance on doctrine? When people are being ugly about my stance on the Bible? What do I say? You ain't got to say nothing. You got to live your life right. Because the Holy Spirit will give you what to say. Is that not what we read? Holy Spirit's going to give you what to say. You ain't got to worry about it. And if you've got some things in your life that obedience is wrought there, you got the fruit of the Spirit growing in your life, I'll tell you this, God will speak for you in those situations. Because God speaks for Himself. He speaks for Himself. We got a generation today, and I ain't talking about millennials, zennials, boomers, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the people alive today, all of us. We've come across in a bad way. And so many people think that because they don't see God, and because God's not raining lightning or thunder down on them, that means there is no God and they can do what they want. They're going to find out. I don't say that in rejoicing. I say that trembling. They're going to find out. Well, I'm not a Christian, so I ain't got to do that. Nah, see, here's the thing. You're going to answer for it anyway, so what are you going to do? Well, I don't believe that. Yeah, it's true. But those, oh, so, you know, what's going to happen? It's true. We can't get around it. We find time in and time again more and more evidence that the Word of God is true. If nothing else, follow the philosophies of the Bible, and I promise you, you'll find them to be true. They can't write morality now without ripping off the Bible. You notice that? Not even the Quran went without ripping off huge portions of the King of not the King James, sorry, but the Bible. They ripped it off. You got some of the prophets in there. You got some different stuff in there. And they've mixed some things together. Why? Because Muhammad was a con artist. I tried to be nice, but I failed. He was a con artist. He was a con artist who liked little girls. That's what he was. How dare you speak evil of another person's religion? It's not a religion. It's a cult read by a pedophile. That's what happened. That's it. Follow what the Bible says. Go ahead, follow it. And I'll tell people, Do you like lion? No, no, lion's bad. Lions, should we discourage lion? Yeah, we should do that. Yes, that's the Bible. What are you going to do? How about murder? Is murder bad? Oh, yeah, murder's bad. Is murder always bad? Oh, yeah. But for the most part, murder is always bad. Unless it's self-defense or war, murder's always bad. See, that's the Bible again. Now, how about this? If people are arguing and fussing with each other, should we form sides and cliques and battle at each other? Or should those two get together and talk? And if that fails, they should maybe get two or three other people, get them together and talk with some mediation. Oh, yeah, mediation is great. I tell you what, we learned that in therapy. Mediation is a wonderful thing. That's the Bible again. That's the Bible. What are you going to do? Even down to our Constitution. A document that tells us how to live. A document that is the basis for our decision making. Where do we get the idea, folks? God speaks for himself. Speaks for himself. And even gives us through the Holy Spirit the answers we need to tell them. But I warn you again, you better know the book before you open your mouth. I've seen too many people try to defend God and make a bigger mess out of their ignorance. Know the book. And don't worry. God will speak for you. God will speak for you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, you don't bow to the idol. We're going to have to throw you in there. Well, even so. Even so. And what do? They threw him in there. Where was God? The Spirit of the Lord was where? Inside the flames. You think that said something that day? You better believe it said something that day. I'd have opportunities at work where they sat there and they threatened me if I didn't come in on a Sunday morning or this or that. And I said, no, listen, when you hired me, this was the agreement. I understand that if I got saved, but I was already working, hey, I'm with you, but Sunday morning, I know where I'm going to be. Oh, well, Matt, I'll get you fired. She got fired first. Couldn't do it. Why? I'll be honest with you, it wasn't because I was absolutely stellar. I was still learning the business. I was still trying to get my feet underneath me, learning how to do stuff. Well, I'll get you, Matt, you'll be fired. All right, well, we'll see you in the office then. Never happened. Why? Lord. I had that when I was 16 making sandwiches. Matt, if you don't change, we're going to fire you. Well, let me know when you do that. Let me know when I don't have to come in anymore. I rode that job till midway through college when I got a big boy job. Well, listen, if you don't do that, no one's going to want to talk to you. You'll be alone. You follow this God thing, you'll be alone one day. Well, it ain't happened yet. I'll let you guys know when it does. Well, you're gonna put all this on God. You're going to put your whole life on what the Lord wants you to do. Think of all the things you miss out on. You know, I don't miss out on much. I don't. I'll be honest with you. I've never had a hangover. I don't know if I should get one of those before I die. I've never been arrested for committing a felony. Huh. I don't know the taste of Narcan. I don't know what Narcan smells or tastes like. Is that bad? I don't know. I've never woken up in someone's bed wasn't mine. That's wonderful for me. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. I've never sat there with a complete stranger in a compromising position trying to remember their name. Maybe I ought to work on that. But in my personal opinion, I think things are going all right. Oh, but aren't you bummed about the things you can't do? It's not about me can't doing them. It's about them being a bad thing for me to do and kind of counter to what I want, which is to live a more abundant life. Amen. Right? Or as I like to say, too much ha-ha, pretty soon boo-hoo. God speaks for himself and don't you forget for a second, he'll speak for you. He'll fight for you. He'll make it impossible for the world to do what they want to do. And while they holler at you and while they bark at you and while they tease you, don't forget it's God who has the final say. And then we see the inevitable, verse 16, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all of them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them And I want you to pay close attention to this, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. What did Jesus say to us about persecution? It's not about you, it's about me. It's not that they're not going to like you. They're not going to like my name coming out of your mouth. They're not going to like you being like me. They're not going to like you talking about me. They weren't concerned about the men going around talking about how John and Peter healed this man. Oh no, they weren't concerned about that. I mean, again, to see these men, we see snapshots of people today. Their lives changed. Yeah, but we don't want people talking about that. We don't want you talking about your church life over here at work. We don't want you talking about your church life here at the family reunion. We don't want that around here. It ain't you. It ain't the change in your life that's bugging them. It's Jesus Christ. So what's their attempt? Well, we'll silence them. So now, wait a minute. If you've seen no other thing that God has done, the very fact that Jesus saved you is a miracle. So you're saying that you're going to see a dead man or dead woman brought back to life spiritually, and I'm going to see that by the hands of God. I'm going to see him do that for me. I'm going to have that confirmation of him, and you want me to be quiet? No, sir. No, thank you. And guess what those two did? You know those two went and they kept going. The Lord just healed a man here by the side in front of this gate. And the Lord, we walked with him and we spoke with him and we saw the miracles. And you want me to be quiet? No, thank you. I can't be quiet. And neither should you. We should not be quiet about the things that God has done. And again, that's what it is. What do I answer for myself? You don't answer for yourself because it ain't about you. They're not attacking you. They don't like what God is doing because it makes them feel guilty and ashamed. And until the Lord convicts them and realizes the shame isn't because somebody disagrees with you, shame comes because you know you did something wrong. Until the Lord explains that to them and saves them, they're not going to get it. They won't get it. But you get it. And you speak what you know you ought to speak, knowing full well that God will speak for himself. And God will speak for you. It is ours to believe and to obey and to stay strong in all things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, your watch care over us seems to know no bounds. We're thankful. Lord, the way that you'll protect us when people say all manner of evil against us, when the world doesn't understand, and sometimes they can be rude, and Father, in many places in this planet become violent over stuff. Lord, we know that you're watching and that, Lord, you have the final say. So, Lord, I pray that you help us. Lord, I pray that you find us close to you. Help us, Lord, to be every bit as obedient in our lives so that, Father, these blessings, these signs, they may appear through us. That, Lord, they may see the changes in our lives. They may see the effect of the ministries that we are a part of. And they may see how you just envelop everything that we do. So that, Lord, your elect may more easily be found. And, Lord, that your people may be encouraged by the behavior and the obedience of others. Help us, Lord, to be good examples. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.